Chapter 15. Two bells into the morning of our 45th day, the storm struck.
All hands, all hands!
Even as the cry came, the Seahawk pitched and yawed violently. Whether I got out of my hammock on my own, or was tossed by the wrenching motion of the ship, to this day I do not know. But I woke to find myself sprawling on the floor, the curtain torn asunder, the forecastle in wildest confusion. Above my head, the lantern swung grotesquely. The men's possessions skittered about like billiard balls. Trunks rolled helter-skelter. The watch was scrambling up. As the ship plunged and plunged again, the cry, "All hands! All hands!" came repeatedly, more urgent than I'd ever heard it. "Hurricane!" I heard as well. There was a frantic dash out of the forecastle into the deck. I followed too, trying to pull on my jacket as I ran against the violent pitching of the ship. Though long past dawn, the sky was still dark. A heavy rain, flung wildly by wind that screamed and moaned like an army in mortal agony, beat upon the deck in rhythms only a mad drummer could concoct. The sea hurled towering wall upon towering wall of foaming fury over us. One such tossed me like some drop of dew across the deck, where I, fortunately, crashed against a wall. As I lay stunned and bruised, gasping for breath, I caught sight of Mr. Hollybrass and Captain Jaggery in the midst of a furious dispute.
"No profit to be found at the bottom of the sea," I heard the first mate cry above the storm. "Mr. Hollybrass, we sail through," the captain returned, breaking away to shout, "All hands aloft! All hands aloft!"
I could hardly believe my ears, to go up into the rigging in this. But when I looked skyward, I could see the reason why. Under the brutal force of the wind, many of the sails had pulled free from their running ropes and were now tearing and snapping out of control, pulling themselves into wild whips.
"All hands aloft! All hands aloft!" came the cry again. It was pleading, desperate.
I could see the men, bent far over to buck wind and rain, struggling toward the shrouds. I pulled myself to my feet, only to be knocked down by still another wave. Again I staggered up, grasping a rope, managing to hold on with the strength of my two hands. Now I was able to stand, but just barely. Slowly I made my way toward the forward mast. When I reached it, it seemed to take forever. Captain Jaggery was already there, trying frantically to lash down ropes and rigging.
"What shall I do?"
I shouted to his back. Shouting was the only way I could make myself heard.
"Cut away the foreyard before it pulls the mast down," he yelled back.
I'm not certain he realized it was me.
"Do you have a knife?"
he called.
"No."
Even as he reached into a back pocket, he turned. When he saw it was me, he hesitated.
"A knife!" I cried.
He handed one to me.
"Where?"
I called.
"Didn't you hear me?"
he cried, gesticulating wildly.
"Cut that sail away."
I looked up. I could not see far into the sheets of rain. The Seahawk's wild pitching had set the mast to shaking as if it had the palsy. Only the foreyard was visible, and the sail was blowing from it almost into the shape of a balloon. Suddenly the sail collapsed into itself, then filled again. It would burst soon, or fly off with the mast.
"Up, damn you! Up, hurry!"
Captain Jaggery screamed. I reached into the rigging, but stopped, realizing I couldn't climb and hold the knife. With the blade between my teeth, I again grasped the rigging, and using both hands I began to climb.